Greetings to you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful to be here with the brethren this morning. Father, we come before you, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Father, give us wisdom as we open your word today. Lord, make your word clear and plain to us, Father. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. God has called us to be pilgrims and strangers in this world. Here these saints that we read about, they died in faith, not having received those promises. They were told about the kingdom. They believed it, but it hadn't been given to them yet. And they lived their lives in this world with a hope of seeking a better country. So they just spent their lives passing through this world as pilgrims and strangers, just walking through, going through. Come, brethren, let us go. The evening closeth round. 'Tis perilous to linger here on this wild desert ground. Take courage as ye wend on towards eternity. From strength to strength your course shall be, and blessed that last year end. This morning, there's so much confusion about whether a person is saved or lost. People want things all hemmed up. They want to have an assurance that everything is just A-OK and it's going to be. They want a clear definition of being on one side or one the other. And they want that assurance that comes with them being on the one side or the on the other. That's not faith. Faith is not being assured that I'm going to heaven. Faith is not being assured that everything is perfect and I'm on my way. Faith is to keep on walking when we don't know. God hasn't given us, "All right, you're in my safety net now. You're saved." God has given us a road to take. Salvation is a way of escape from the judgment and condemnation that's coming to this world. Salvation is a light. And we're striving a light at the end of a tunnel. And we're trying all that we can to reach the end of that tunnel. Told the story about Big John. A lot of you younger ones and some of the newer ones may not remember it or may not have heard it. But there was a mining town. It's a kind of a fable, I think, but it tells a good story. And this stranger came to town, and he was a big, big man. And everyone was afraid of him. And they talked about him because they were in fear. They didn't know what to think of him. Everyone was scared of him because he was so big. And he worked in the mine. It was a mining town that he came into. And all these men of the town would go into the mine and work. And every day they'd go way down into the deep part of this mine and work. One day there was a bit of an earthquake and they were all down in the mine. And the dirt in the ceiling began to fall. Can you imagine being in a mine way down in the ground and the earth begin to shake and the dirt in the roof of the ceiling begin to fall down on you? What fear that would bring in people's hearts in a dark mind and all of a sudden the earth begins to quake, what's your first thought? What's your thought? Boy, this is kind of a nice place. Oh, that dirt feel nice falling on my head. It's just so relaxing. I think I'll just sit down and be comfortable for a while. Is that what you'd think? No way. Your first thought is looking up and see if you can see a way out. You're going to wish that, boy, I wish I could be up there, out of this mind. This mind, these men were in this mind, and the earth began to quake, and the rocks and the dirt began to shake, and it began to fall, and dust began to fill the mind. Then you hear the timbers that are holding. They had great big timbers that would hold the mine. The ceiling of the mine where it was weakened. They had big logs and big boards that would help support the roof of the mine while they were in there working, to make a tunnel or a shaft, and they supported it with these boards. And as this dirt began to break, one of the timbers started to crack. And this big John heard that board crack, and he reached up and he grabbed that board and he held it to keep it from breaking. And all those men, all the dust had filled the mine, and it was dark and it was black in there, in that cave, in that pit that they were in. All the lights had been knocked out by the dust. And they just heard this groan of this man as he was holding on to this mine with all of his might, all of these boards. And as the dust began to settle, one of them looked up and he said, "There's a light up above. There's a light up there." What did that light represent? It meant safety. It meant there was going to be an opportunity to get out of that mine. There was going to be an opportunity to get out of this place that was going to fall in and would surely be their grave. Do you think those men thought, it's a long way to that light? I'm kind of tired. I think I'll lay down and take a nap before I start looking for that light or trying to get out of it. Do you think they did that? Do you think they thought, boy, this would be a nice time to sit down and have a nice drink of tea? We'll just enjoy ourselves while we're here. No, I don't think they thought that. I think they put every bit of energy and every bit of strength and every bit of will they had, they could, to get to that light. There might have been places where the rocks had caved in and they had to crawl even to get out of that light. Do you think they got to those rocky places where they were going to have to crawl and say, oh, it's just too hard. I just don't feel like crawling anymore. Do you think they were going towards that light and then they saw another tunnel off going over to the right or to the left and they decided, well, look, there's a nice smooth path. I think I'll just go over here for a while. Choose another road. It'll surely get me to that light. No. They saw that light and they put everything they had into getting out of it. And they all got out. Except for one. And after they all got out, they thought about that one still down there. And so they quick went and tried to find some more timbers and some lumber, and they were going to go back down in there and prop that up so that they could help that last man out. And before they could get ready, they heard a rumble way down in the ground, and then dust and smoke come out of the hole. They knew that that man had given his life so that they could get out. He provided an opportunity for them to get out of that hole. Christ provides us an opportunity to get out of this world into His world. This world that we live in is more dangerous than that mine that those men were living in. But we look around at this world and we can find so many comfortable places in it. So much ease. So much security. But it's false. It's false. The Bible warns us over and over and over again that the security, that the things of this world are going to pass away, they're going to be destroyed, they're going to melt with fervent heat. It's going to be done away with. And our hope is a light of eternity. Christ is holding the roof from collapsing on us for a moment. To give us an opportunity to get out of it. It's not, oh, I'm saved. I think I'll just get me a nice chair and enjoy this cool. It's probably warm up there where that light's at. I think I'll just enjoy this nice, cool, damp air down here. He's standing there holding that beam. I'm safe. I'm saved. Whoopee, he saved me. He's holding the beam. He's got her covered. You stay in there. We'll praise you. Oh, thank you for holding that beam. I'm going to stand here and watch you hold it. He's holding that beam so you can get out. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Our salvation is the road, is the way that's going to get us out of that path. The Bible is the guide that's going to get us through this world to that light. I don't understand. I don't understand. Why people say that they believe the Bible and will not let it correct. If we don't allow it to be our guide, we're not following it. We're not believing it. We're not doing anything but deceiving ourselves. Whenever it tells us how to live, it is trying to guide us to that light. That means life. Out of this pit of this world. When it tries to correct us, when it tries to show us how to get from one place to another, that's what it's trying to do. We've got this idea of salvation that we're just saved or we're lost. We're either going to take the guidance of this book or we're going to try to look for some false hope or for some false security instead of allowing God's word to lead us and guide us through our lives. We have to learn to govern our own lives. The Bible says in Philippians, Chapter 2, wherefore, verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You not only because someone's telling you to, not just when there's someone over you and guiding you, or you're in front of someone that you know you'll be getting in trouble because they're trying to help you. That's what Paul's saying. Not only in my presence, you know, whenever Paul was around, most of the people probably acted pretty good. What do you think? There probably wasn't many people that showed or made a show of loving the world when Paul was around. Because they were afraid he would say something to them about it. But he said, not only in my presence, but in my absence also. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul could see that it wasn't impressing anyone whenever someone just put a show on because he was around. What's important is how you live when no one else is around. That's what God sees. That's what God sees. You're going to have to choose for yourselves what path you're going to take. You're going to have to choose for yourselves, not only when the preacher's around, not only when your mom and dad's around, not only when some of the brethren or the sisters are around, you're going to have to choose what path you're going to take because you've made that choice yourself. If you have to have your parents around to choose right and wrong for you, you're not going to make it on your own. There's going to be a time they're going to be gone. And you're going to have to make those choices all by yourself. Whether you're going to be a stranger and a pilgrim in this world, whether you're going to try to get out to that light all by yourself, there might be helps along the way. Use them, take advantage of them. You don't make the choice yourself to get out, you're not going to make it. Not going to make it. People look for this security. Oh, I'm out. There's someone standing holding up that beam. I'm safe. I'm secure. I've got her made. I think I'll just play around here for a little while. I think I'll just play around here in this world for a little while. That won't work. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, it's the same thing with the church. That's why we don't have our own rules. As a church, we expect people to govern themselves. What happens is, whenever we start writing rules, is that people begin to let others make their decisions for them. They begin to let others make their rules for them. And they don't have to make those hard decisions themselves. You know, the rules, it sounds pretty good in one point. Well, let's just write a rule here. And everyone looks at that rule and basically sees it has a bottom line that we'll just say you have to do this. And we'll stop right there. We'll just make a rule where everyone can go no further than this. So everyone settles right there on that line and they don't go any further. The problem is that if I want to go forward, we've already made a rule that you can't do that because we're trying to keep everybody together. We're trying to foster the idea or encourage the idea that the rules are already made. And as long as I just live within this set of rules, I'll be okay. The rules aren't the answer. The rules are a false security. To think that I'm safe because I'm living within the rules. The Bible gives us the road that is going to lead us to heaven. And we as a church, those people as believers who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He came and He gave His life and He taught us how to get to heaven and He gave us His words to how to guide us, how to control our lives, how to live our lives, and what path we are to follow. His words define what is the world. What's going to hinder us from getting out as quickly as we can? His word is the precious gift that He's given. And it's enough. It's not about just keeping the rules of the Word. It's about this is showing me the way out of that pit. And I'm going to follow its directions out of it. Because I want out of here. I see something much better up there. And I want out of here. So it's not just about don't do this or don't do that or keeping rules. If that's all you're doing it for, you're missing it. Learn to love God. Learn to find out what pleases God and make those decisions that are right for yourself, to do what's right. There is cutoff lines in the Bible. And what they're there for is to show you that you're not where you're supposed to be. God has provided a way that you and I can be reconciled to Him. To be restored. The laws and the rules are not to show us where we've broken them. The laws and the rules are to show us how to get back to Him. They're stepping stones for us. And as a church, as a body of believers, we've set the limit of our fellowship and our communion together at the simple faith of putting into practice what the Bible says. And we expect each person who's made that commitment to be able to do that faithfully. Sure, we all need some correction once in a while. Sure, we all need some help once in a while. Sometimes we do get strayed off. Sometimes we do take a wrong path. And someone in the brotherhood can say, hey, you're kind of straying off the path. And what a wonderful thing it is when the person says, hey, you're right. I want to get back on it. Whenever we start creating our own rules and making our own rules of what we define as Christianity, we develop our own insurance or our own security. And it becomes a false security because we begin to trust in that instead of walking ourselves and working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you. whenever we allow someone else to make our decisions for us, that weakens us. That weakens us. That takes the Father out of the responsibility of being a man. That takes the tough decisions away that will give us the strength to go on. Whenever all the decisions are made for us, and all the rules are made for us, we don't have to face a cross on our own. That's the problem. Whenever all the rules have already been laid out and all the decisions have already been made, we don't have to bear our own cross anymore. Oh, sure, we might have a little shame and a little reproach by being associated with those people that have made all that decision. All those decisions have already been made. But we don't have to face the struggle that gives us the strength to keep on climbing on our own. It's just that simple. We all need some guidance. We all need some encouragement once in a while. A little prodding. But don't just rest in that. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to take up the cross. And do it yourself. There's judgments to be made. There's times the church has to say, we've got to make a decision here. And God will honor that. That doesn't mean it's a law. It's going to be there forever and ever. That we're going to abide by for 100 years, and 100 years goes by, and we don't know why we're keeping this rule. It's just been the way it's always been. It's just become a dead man's law. Or a dead church's law. The living are pilgrims and strangers that are continually pressing on towards that light until they get out. Until they get out. Man in the little story died for him. And the best he got was a little plaque probably at the opening of that mind, how he died and gave his life for those men. Now it's buried down in the bottom of that pit. Jesus not only provided, gave his life so that we could get out of it. He overcame it. Rose again. Conquered it himself. And he's trying to show us that light still. For all those who will receive it. Don't get lured to sleep. Just because you keeping what everybody else is expecting. Parable of the wheat and the tares is there on purpose. Parable of the wolves in sheep's clothing is there on purpose. That means because there's people going to be all around us that might wind up just being a tare, might wind up just being a wolf. Make the decisions ourselves. I'm going to go on anyway. I'm going to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't make us perfect. But it does separate us from this world. And it does make us strangers and pilgrims in this world. Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy. Thank you for your word. We just ask your blessing upon it. Help us be faithful to you, Lord. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name.